Hello and welcome to the Thursday, July 3rd, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We keep seeing more and more ransomware. That appears to be the new trend where someone is trying to get you to pay up with various threats. Now, we talked last week about some of these threats arriving via first class mail. This one we had today is really much less sophisticated and also more conventional in the sense that if you search on Bing for certain keywords, it's very likely that you are going to end up with a page that actually has nothing to do with the keyword you are looking for. Instead, you will see a message that your computer has been locked and files are going to be encrypted. The trick here is that this is not CryptoLocker or any of the variants. I think in part they're trying to build on the fear that people have from this kind of malware. So really what's happening here, it's just a little bit of JavaScript and then a lot of iframes. So if you close the page, something else will pop up and ask you if you really want to leave the page and essentially not allow you to leave the page. All you have to do is really be persistent and keep clicking on close page. Or just reboot the system, unless of course you have your browser configured to come back with the last page you visited. That could, for example, be a problem for some Macs or such, which by default restart all software that was running when you shut down the system. But other than that, I ran it in a patched but default configured Windows 7 system. Didn't see any actual malware here. Really, all that was there was the threat, and they asked actually for $300 if I understood it right. I didn't quite get exactly the amount they were asking for. The page was written pretty badly. The particular search we used here, I reported it to Bing earlier today, this morning. Actually, the malicious link still comes back right now as second link to the search. It has sort of varied throughout the day. Earlier this morning when I found it, it was sort of at the bottom of the first page around rank 9 or so. In between, it even outranked the Twitter link to a person with the name that I was searching for. This particular search was for Katie Matusik. I'm not really familiar with it. Appears to be a gymnast. There's also another spelling here with Y instead of the U that actually reveals the same malicious link. And then we got some pretty important Cisco patches for the Unified Communications Domain Manager today, where one vulnerability in particular, I think, is likely going to cause some problems, and that's a hidden default SSH key vulnerability. The way these systems apparently are set up is that support personnel can log in to this domain manager using a default SSH key that is stored on the system. And I've seen this before, and others who commented on the story also have seen it in various systems where there is a key added to authorized keys that allows support personnel to log in to the system. In itself, of course, that can be a problem because now whoever works in support for the company can log in to your system. The real problem here, however, with Cisco is that they didn't just leave the public key on the system in authorized keys, but instead the private key is on the system as well. So you don't necessarily have to compromise a support user. Instead, all you have to do is buy one of the devices and you have a key that can be used to log into any other Cisco Unified Communications Domain Manager. This affects the Unified CDM platform software versions prior to 4.4.2. The other vulnerabilities affect the application software for the Cisco Unified CDM, and that's prior to version 8.1.4, and it is a privilege escalation vulnerability. The third vulnerability could also be tricky, but right now there isn't really a lot of detail, because this does allow an unauthorized user data manipulation. So an unauthorized user can connect to the system and then alter data. Not really clear exactly what data can be altered. And a quick update on the no IP situation. Turns out that Microsoft ceased intercepting the no IP domains, and noip.com and all related domains should be back to normal for now. Not exactly sure how all of this got resolved. Haven't really seen an official statement yet, other than the fact that the issue got resolved for now. And well, that's it for today. As stated before, Friday is a big holiday in the US, so I will not be recording a podcast. I will also not record a podcast for Monday due to some travel. So thanks for listening, and talk to you again on Tuesday. Bye.